That was the 1 Peter 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, and stick some paper there or something, and I'll come back to it in a few minutes. I need your undivided attention for just 20 minutes. I know it's warm. I know you've been active at the gym. My, what a good game. Amen? And missed the soccer, but I saw the basketball, and thank God for the game there. Excellent game. I asked the preacher before I came to work here, I said, what emphasis do you want on chapel? And he said, I want the emphasis on winning America to Christ. It's what he said. So I believe today that I have something for you that will help us maintain fundamentalism in America, but you've got to listen to get it. You're going to have to stay awake. Ever wonder why fundamental Baptist churches die? Have you ever wondered why that soul winning stops in fundamental churches? Have you ever wondered why fundamental independent Baptist colleges go astray? I want to deal with that this morning just a little bit and hopefully maybe give you an idea of what you need to be doing that you won't go off course. I'm going to tell you why fundamental churches die. I'm going to tell you why they stop soul winning. I'm going to tell you why fundamental independent Baptist colleges stop doing what they used to do. I will. I'm going to tell you what you must do if you're going to not go the direction they've gone. I keep in touch with America by asking evangelists what's going on in America. You know what they tell me? Nothing. Except for Hiles Anderson College graduates. That's what they tell me. Nothing. They tell me that fundamentalism is dead or dying except for our graduates. Listen to me. The time frame is the early 1970s. The place, a fundamental independent separatist Baptist college. The debate, britches or no britches. The rule was passed, not in writing, but verbally, that said it's all right for girls to wear britches in the dorm as long as they don't come out of the dorm with them. Matter of fact, they said, we don't care what you wear in the dorm. The first death nail went into the coffin of that great college with that decision. A college that has sent hundreds and thousands of missionaries around the world and pastors all over this globe. A little bit later, because of the pressure and the requirement of employers, girls, you better be glad you're not employed outside of here. Requirement of the employers of the girls that lived on campus to wear breeches, the ruling was passed that, yes, the girls can wear breeches if it's required to work in them. But girls, you got to roll them up under your skirt, and when you get off campus, you can take the skirt off and wear your breeches. Isn't that sickening? You know what? Some of you think, well, that'd be great, girls. You're thinking that, aren't you? No, it wouldn't be great. Because that was the second death nail that went into that college. That college, the largest Bible college of its kind at that time. Then shortly after that went into decline in enrollment, and for 13 straight years dropped in enrollment from nearly 3,000 down to about 600. This year they've had an increase in enrollment. Of course, that could be one, I don't know, for the first time in 13 years. And they're struggling for their life. The death nail was a lack of holiness. When's the last time you ever heard a sermon on holiness? The time is mid-1960s. Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, one of the 10 largest in America. The Sunday night evening service, just before the service, there was always a skit or a play by one of the Sunday school departments. We have singers, they had plays. In that play, one of the men came out who was a Sunday school teacher dressed in a dress. The preacher jumped up and he said, "Get off this platform and get out of this church." He said, dresses are for women. Had some good standards, and the attendance showed it, 4,000, 5,000, and 6,000 in Sunday school. I knew of that church growing 501 Sunday and never lost them until they dropped their standards. Because all the time they had standards, all the time they preached holiness, all the time they stood for the things of God, God blessed that church, and that church was a thriving, growing institution. But the minute holiness was disbanded, and later it was called a social issue. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a social issue, it's an issue with God. Whether or not you're a holy person or not. It's an issue with God. And I want to tell you something. If you're not a holy person, you'll never have the power of God on your life. If you're not a holy person, don't expect to get your prayers answered. If you're not a holy person, don't expect any results in soul winning. If you're not a holy person, don't expect God to anoint your preaching. If you're not a holy person, don't expect your family to be. The problem with America is in the pulpit. Holiness of the preachers. We can't expect holiness in the pew if there's no holiness in the pulpit. It is quiet in here, isn't it? Before soul winning goes, separation goes. Before power of God goes, the soul winning and the separation and the holiness go. Bible separation, Bible standards, plain and simple, old-fashioned Bible holiness is essential to maintain separatist, fundamentalist Baptist churches in America. Look in your Bible at 1 Peter 5, chapter 1. I need you to listen to me. Verse 15, But as he which hath called you to is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That means that everything you do, your whole life. Next verse. Because it is written, be ye holy. Say the last few words with me. For I am holy. Now say the whole verse 16 with me. Ready? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Once again. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Once again. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I want you to, where it says ye, I want you to put your name there. Your first name. Ready? Because it is written, be Larry holy, for I am holy. It makes a difference emphasis, doesn't it? It's not written to somebody else. It's not written to your neighbor. It's written to you. Once again, put your name there. Ready? Everyone. Because it is written, be Larry holy, for I am holy. The Lord God Almighty said that we're to be holy, for I am holy. Oh, listen. The Bible commands holiness, holiness, purity, purity in thought, purity in actions, purity in reactions, purity in dress, holiness. When I was a preteen, I used to go with the guys down the street to and look through the window of a local church, and we called those people holy rollers. Now, we shouldn't have done that. But they were. They were holy, and they were rollers. They would literally roll on the floor. We'd have a fit. But you know what? Those were godly dressing people. I didn't care for their rolling on the floor, but I cared a whole lot for the way they dressed. Their ladies looked like ladies, and their men looked like men. And there was some holiness in the crowd. Amen. They didn't put on three layers of makeup. One layer will do. And most of you girls don't need any. If you can get by without it, you ought to get by without it. The greatest beauty is pure beauty. I'll get to you, fellas. You're saying amen. Those women would not think of wearing a short sleeve dress or blouse. Our preacher recently, you can remember this stuff. Our preacher recently disbanded the Tribune from our campus because of improper advertising. Why, ladies, this summer will you have a personal improper advertisement? Let's put the cookies down where you can get them. We can't have the newspaper on campus. Why should you leave here this summer and go to the beach? Holiness. You come back this fall and go out soul and wonder why you're drawing a blank. I'll tell you why. You need to go to the altar. Holiness and purity. Oh, listen. Holiness has almost disappeared from America. Let me give you an illustration. When I entered high school in 1954, now you know I'm an antique, my biology teacher recommended me to a part-time job at a general dry goods store. That means they had everything from notions to men's suits. It was called the M. Goldberg Sons Company, Lost Jews. One of my jobs, among many, besides cleaning floors and in the busy season helping sell and providing maintenance to the place, was to what we called strip the windows. The window displays that were out around the street, people could walk by and see the men's suits or the ladies' dresses, things like that, like you do at the mall. And so I would take all the things out of the windows, but in that job I had to cover the lady mannequins, the women mannequins, and the men mannequins. They weren't either, but, shaped like one. With unbleached muslin and pin that muslin around the neck. So that as people walked by, they could not even see a piece of plaster undressed. That was the standard of the world in 1955. One day, I don't know whether Miss Goldberg had seen it herself or a customer came in, whatever, it made no difference. One of those unbleached muslin pieces fell off of a lady mannequin. And I got the dressing down of my life because that mannequin was in the window nude, with her bosom showing nude. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the standard of the world in 1955. Yet ladies that call themselves fundamental Baptists will put on a bikini and go to a beach. Or they'll put on one of those things that show your belly button. Don't tell me. That's ungodly. That's unholy. That is not holiness. How do you expect to serve God with that kind of garbage in your life? Not only is holiness dying in America, but with holiness, doctrinal purity is dying. That's why we have a debate about the blood. That's why we have a debate about confrontational soul winning. That's why we have a debate about all this legalism, they call it, because holiness is not there. Holiness goes, and then the doctrine goes, and the soul winning goes, and I'll guarantee you I've got it on the nail. Thank you, brother. What are you going to do about preserving America and the holiness in America that your kids and my grandkids can have a fundamental, independent, separatist Baptist church to go to in the future? Amen. What are you going to do about it? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness in this school is absolutely essential. This is the institution that's going to control fundamentalism for the next decade and the next generation. If you're not holy, no one will be holy. It's an example. It's an example to America. Holiness is essential for doctrinal purity. It's essential for soul winning power. It's essential for prayer power. It's essential for the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're the cream of the crop. You're the Green Berets. You're the 82nd Airborne. Who else is going to do it if you don't do it? What are you going to be like this summer? I used to run the 440 relay. I know you don't think I'm very athletic. I'm not. But I did. I jumped the high hurdles, the broad jump, and I enjoyed it. We'd run the 440 relay. They'd come and they'd bring me the baton. I'd run second. They put the baton in my hand, and I'd give it all my head around that track, putting the one foot in front of the other as fast as I could go and trying to let our team be first. I had the baton, and it was up to me to stay ahead of the rest of the pack. I'm a little bit older than most of you, and so is a lot of the faculty and the administration, and we want to put a baton in your hand, some holiness and some purity from days gone by that you don't hear anything about today. Man, holiness would mean that you'd learn to sit right in the lobby with a lady. There are 10 sofas out there, and I can walk through there with all of them with a couple on it, and only two couples know how to sit. Holiness would require you to get off of one if you don't know how to sit on one. I saw a couple the other day practically laying down on the sofa together. You make me want to vomit. Why don't you go to Liberty?
Young lady, holiness will require you to wear a skirt long enough to sit on that sofa without having to worry about it. By the way, there's nothing wrong with wearing a skirt longer than the minimum standard of the school. If you've got to do the boogie-woogie and tuck it in all the time, it isn't modest. Did you hear me? If you've got to tuck it in and pull on it and stuff on it, it's not long enough. Thank God for the girls in this school that know what modesty is. By the way, girl, you'll not get the right kind of guy until you get a skirt long enough to attract the right kind of guy. Holiness. Holiness. I will, son. Come on. I'd like to vomit on the young man I saw on On the young man I saw in the dining hall week four last, we were allowed to wear denim after chapel. So he trotted on up to the dorm room. He weighed about 90 pounds soaking wet, and he wiggled into his jeans. And he made way to the dining hall, and everything he owned showed. That is not holiness. Why don't you go to liberty? You deserve 121 demerits, fella. As far as I'm concerned, burn those britches. Get you a pair four sizes too big. Don't you know that denim shrinks every time you wash it? You say you're an old fuddy-duddy. We need some old fuddy-duddies. We need some young fuddy-duddies. Holiness used to be carried on by old-time Methodist, used to be carried on by Nazarenes, used to be carried on by the Assembly of God, used to be carried on by the Church of God, used to be carried on by Fundamental Independent Baptist, but it's not anymore. You can go to a Fundamental Independent Baptist church and go mix swimming. That's ungodly. You can go to a Fundamental Baptist church and ladies wear breeches to church. That's ungodly. I haven't touched the hem of the garment yet. Some of you ladies ought to decide that you can be a lady in a skirt and throw away your culottes. Because all they are is a compromise. I didn't call them sin, I called them a compromise. Did you know what? I asked my wife last night, I said, honey, do you remember culottes back in the 50s? She said, no. If you can't do it in a long, full denim skirt, lady, you probably ought not be doing it, or you won't be a lady while you're doing it. It is quiet. I may not get asked to preach again, but I'm going to tell you what my mind is. A lady ought to be a lady. My wife doesn't own a pair of them. Now, I watched the cheerleaders. They had godly culottes on, but most of you don't own them like that. You look like a mix between a man and a woman. Most of you. And I don't apologize for saying it. Fellas, you're doing an awful lot of amening. Men, holiness require you over there in the bondage square, I called it. You call it liberty square. I call it bondage square. For most of you men, look like you're going to fall off a table in the lap of your girlfriend. That's ungodly. If you had any sense, you'd sit across the table from her instead of next to her, because it looks to me like you're playing kneesies, footsies, or thighsies, and that's unholy. My Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil, and that would be appearance of playing footsies, kneesies, or thighsies. Fellas, girls are easily deceived. They think, man, you're the macho spiritual leader. And so they accept some of those things. Would God you'd understand what you're doing to your woman. You fellas out there in the lobby, sit on one end of the couch and let her sit on the other, because every time you sit close together, you want to get closer and closer and closer and closer. You can read the Bible to her on the other end. We're getting the blessings of God on our relationship. You know what? You can't sit one on this cushion and one on this cushion and the Bible on your laps with those cushions doing this. You're ungodly. You're putting a blessing on it by reading the Bible to her. You're deceiving that woman. It's getting quiet. Would God I had an hour. But that's all right. I'll say all I need to say in 20 minutes. Some of you people need to dedicate your relationship to God and make it holy. And young lady, if he has anything unholy about him, you ought to dump him in the lake out there. And tie a concrete block around his neck. I will. Let me say something I've been wanting to say for a year. I have permission from the Holy Ghost to say it. You girls that wear these neck scarves around your waist and around your hips, what are you advertising for anyway? That's ungodly. A man is attracted to the beauty of a woman, and you wrap your waist and your hips with those things. Your accent ought to be on your hair and on your head, not on your... Come on! There's nothing wrong with a red belt or some accent like that, but when you take those things and you draw a man's attention to your hips and that part of your body, that is unholy! Now I'm going to say something else I've been wanting to say for a year. When you take the world standard of nylons that are patterned and you draw a man's attention to your legs, what are you trying to do? Burn those things! Burn them! Fella, I wouldn't date a girl like that. Or maybe she's been deceived. Give her the benefit and see if she wears them again after today. Young lady, if you don't learn some things, you're going to wind up with the marriage altar impure. If you don't learn some things, you're going to wind up with the marriage altar not having your first kiss, and you're going to be as mad as fire at yourself. I'm glad my only daughter walked down the aisle and she said, "Dad, I've got a present for you." She said, "It'll be my first kiss." She made it. She made it. She made it. She went to a very popular fundamental Bible college, and in 3.5 years there, she said, "Dad, there's nobody here to date." Fellas, is there anybody here to date? Fellas, if you were holy, I believe some girls would want to date you that have turned you down. How many of you have thought about, don't hold your hand up, something the Holy Spirit's talked to you about today? Ladies, gentlemen, your dating life, maybe your marriage life. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. Fundamentalism, separatism in America is at stake in this room, this hour, right now. Right now! It's the message for the hour. It's the message for the hour. How many of you are willing to do something about the mistakes you've made in your holiness? Heavenly Father, oh God, seal a message. Oh God, spare a nation. If it's going to be spared, it'll be in this auditorium. Now with their heads bowed, I want every soul that God has spoken to come to the altar, and I want you to do it now, do it now, do it now. Man, woman, boy, girl, come on. Come on, do it now. We got to hurry. We got guys that need to go to work. We got 4 minutes. Come on. Don't hold back. Get up and come. Get up and come. Praise God. Get up and come. Come on. This is the hook. If you preach without a hook, fellas, it's no good to have preached. If you can't land the fish, you haven't done the job. You might as well cut bait. Come on. Some of you girls need to come. Get out in the altar. Kneel in your pew. Do something. Come on. Do something about it. Do something about it. Some of you need to do something about it. Amen. Come on. Come on. Do it now. Do it now.
Do it now.